Are you ready for a little bit of a Bible study? Or would you prefer a preach? I'll try and keep it light because the undertones are quite heavy. But I believe that you will receive whatever the subliminal impartation is meant to be, that you will receive it in your hearts. I think it's 2 weeks ago that I spoke about the Elijah company that God is busy forming and the desperate need for that, not just in our own country, but in the world. We need an Elijah company with that specific anointing that God had on Elijah. And when the Old Testament, in its final verses in Malachi 4, the word says, "And I'm going to send Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will reconcile the hearts of the fathers with the children and the hearts of the children with the fathers, unless I come and smite the land with a curse." It's hard words to read, and I think we'll do well to dig in, get the true meaning, and position ourselves before the Lord. The Elijah picture is a very, very, very powerful picture. We've seen how Jesus identified John the Baptist as the Elijah that was to come. And John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Strange enough, John the Baptist did not perform the miraculous like Elijah did, which, as we pointed out, means that there's a deeper function and a deeper meaning to those verses than just doing the supernatural. Now, just to conclude that part of two Sundays ago, you remember when Elijah on Mount Carmel broke the drought by his prayer after destroying the prophets of Baal. It was a powerful demonstration on Mount Carmel when the whole nation was summoned to the mountain. The whole nation was summoned to come to the mountain. But that takes authority. Nobody will stand today and try and summon the nation of South Africa to, say, Table Mountain. You think the nation will show up? But if you speak in that realm of authority by the commissioning of God Himself, things happen. The interesting thing is, and I don't want to spend too much time with this, but the drought was broken. Wonderful rain was poured out in 1 Kings chapter 18, the last few verses. And after all that Elijah had gone through, when the rain fell, he outran Ahab with all his horses and chariots. He still outran Ahab. But then the next chapter is quite a shocking chapter following what had just happened. This mighty prophet of God, after this amazing demonstration of spiritual authority, heard that Jezebel threatened to do the same to him. We read here in chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told his wife, right? Told his wife Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. These were Jezebel's prophets. They ate at her table. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And the next verse says, "And he," Elijah, "was afraid and arose and ran for his life." We know the story. I'm always surprised by this response. But it shows you something. It shows you the spirit of Jezebel. He actually requested for himself that he might die, this prophet. And that's a long story, how he exhausted, sitting under a tree, requesting to die, and three times God had to send an angel to feed him. Then he would fall asleep again. Feed him three times. And then instructed him to go to Mount Horeb. And that was 40 days and 40 nights away. So the angel's food was good enough to keep him running for the next 40 days. Wonderful. And what happened at the mountain? How the Lord appeared to him in an amazing way. And in verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you've arrived, you shall anoint Hazael, king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, you shall anoint as prophet in your place." And we know in 2 Kings chapter 2, how Elijah was taken into heaven and his mantle fell. Actually, it didn't fall directly on the shoulders of Elisha. Sometimes the transitioning of anointing is a bit messy. It fell on the floor, on the ground. But Elisha picked up the mantle and parted the Jordan, and miraculous. And Elisha walked in double the miraculous signs of that in which Elijah walked. That's the end of Elijah. But in 2 Kings chapter 9, I just want to refer to that quickly. 2 Kings chapter 9, we have to refer to this, the end of Jezebel. The end of Jezebel was quite messy. Listen very carefully. In 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30, "And when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window." I'm going to show you in a few minutes what this means, who she truly was. She painted herself, and she looked out of the window. And as Jehu was at the gate on the ground level, right? She was in the second or third floor, peeping through the window. And she said, "Is it well, Zimri, your master's murderer?" Then he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three officials looked down at him. The officials must have stood with Jezebel. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trampled her underfoot. When he came in, he ate and drank. And he said, "See now, this cursed woman, and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they returned and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite." And so on. And what Elijah said, "In the property of Jezreel, the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel, so they cannot say, 'This is Jezebel.'" That's the end of Jezebel in the Old Testament. I want to show you something about John the Baptist's life. Because John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Are we together? Listen carefully. Matthew chapter 3, I'm just referring to it. The first words that came out of the mouth of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah, he preached this way. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of God. So he had the gospel of the kingdom on his heart. That's John the Baptist. All right? Then in Matthew chapter 4, something happened. We don't have time to go into the detail, but John was put into prison. But before that happened, before he was put into prison, I want you to go with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Please follow this because it has extreme relevance in the season we're in. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, I've ended last time referring to where people asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." But I want to take it further. When John was getting ready to baptize Jesus in the Jordan River, in verse 29, he was on the banks of the Jordan. That was his pulpit, on the banks of the Jordan. And then he saw Jesus coming to him, verse 29, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has higher rank than I, for he existed before me." John had a revelation of Jesus and who he was. Now remember, the function and commissioning of John the Baptist was to make straight the way of the Lord, to prepare a way for the Lord. Listen carefully. He had a commissioning. And when he said this, verse 35 onwards in John 1, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Look at me. At this point in John the Baptist's ministry, the purpose for which he was sent was fulfilled. Listen carefully. And two of his disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Two of John's disciples turned away from him and followed Jesus. So you can read on and on. What I want to say is this. At this point, it seems to me obvious that John should have closed down his ministry and followed Jesus. Because the John the Baptist ministry to prepare the way of the Lord was fulfilled. He recognized by revelation who Jesus was. "John, shut down your ministry and follow him. Look, some of your disciples are following Jesus." He did not. He continued. And what happened to him? Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Now remember, after these things in John 1, John was thrown into prison by Herod. And some Jezebel whispered in his ear. Let's get this. Matthew 11 from verse 1. "And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John in prison, John was not in prison, heard of the works of Jesus, of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Dear Lord, the very mandate that he had lived for, that he expressed, that he manifested, suddenly he doubted his calling. Are you the one? This must have troubled Jesus. "Or shall we look for someone else?" he said. Jesus said, "Go and report to John what you have seen when you're here. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear," and so on. "And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." And then in verse 11, I want you to see this because this is all part of an unfolding picture. Verse 11, Jesus says, and he's talking about John, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him." Please get this. Of people born from a woman, none is greater than John the Baptist. What was Jesus saying? John the Baptist was greater than all the prophets before him. There was nobody greater than John the Baptist. Nobody that was ever born of women was greater than John the Baptist. Comma. "And yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Does that open the door for people like you and me? Those who are least in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist. This is mind-boggling. Folks, it's time our eyes open up to our true identity through the eyes of Jesus. Now that means we got to stop listening to the whisperings of Jezebel. "From the days of John the Baptist," verse 12, "until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. It suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." John was the last of the old covenant prophets. Then the new covenant kicked in. Now, Matthew 14. Let's just close this sad history. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, let's start verse 1. "At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard the news about Jesus, and he said to his servants," now remember, John was already in prison. "He said, 'This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him.'" This is Herod's comments. Verse 3 says, "For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip." He stole his brother's wife, and John the Baptist criticized him, well, spoke against what he did, and that's why John was put into prison. Now, on verse 6, "But Herod's birthday came," the king had a birthday, "the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Thereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked." She didn't know what to ask, so where does she go to? To Mama. Herodias, who operated in the spirit of Jezebel. Having been prompted by a mother, she said, "Give me on a platter the head of John the Baptist." And although he was grieved, The king commanded it to be given because of his oath and because of his dinner guests. And John was beheaded. I'm bringing that in as a introduction to something that I want to say. There's a John the Baptist ministry in the earth today. It is a corporate anointing. It is to prepare the way of the Lord. The fivefold ministry is moving in that anointing to a great extent, to prepare the way of the Lord. But there comes a time that you have to become part of the next season and not just prophesy about it, but become part of the next season incarnated. Is the word I like. And if not, movements that have become pioneering movements in the earth, who failed to transition into the next level, lost their head. Meaning this, even though, and I've seen this, folks, I've seen this, I've been part of this. When a move of God, prophetic, apostolic, when a move of God becomes a movement of man, it fails to flesh out the next level and it loses its governmental anointing, loses its head. How many of you follow what I'm saying? I've seen that. We can't see the John the Baptist history repeat itself. We can't. And in order to prevent that from happening, we've got to deal with the spirit of Jezebel. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Now, let me just, before we go further, give you the name, the meaning of the name Jezebel. The meaning of the name Jezebel means Baal exalted. Baal is an afgod, an idol. Baal exalted. It also indicates one who is unchaste and unhusbanded. Unchaste and unhusbanded. That's a strange word, isn't it? But I think it explains itself. That's what the name Jezebel means. Jezebel was married to Ahab. As queen of Israel, she immediately set up the altars, shrines, temples of false gods and began to require of the people of Israel to worship these gods. And so on. The name, she was the daughter of Ethbaal. Ethbaal meaning with Baal. Ethbaal was a priest to the goddess Astarte. This was the goddess of sensual love and sex. From her childhood, Jezebel was steeped in false religion and government. Jezebel grew up in an atmosphere of position, power, and prestige. She drank deeply of all the arts of political cunning and intrigue. That's Jezebel. Here we come to the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 2. And I want to read with you, please read with me from verse 18, the message to the church in Thyatira. The name Thyatira means sweet perfume and sacrifice. And when you study this word, it speaks of a perfume that sends forth its fragrance as a result of bruising, crushing, and breaking. This church in Thyatira was the smallest church of the seven churches. But it's the longest message of all seven. Let's read it together. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, The Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this: I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But, everybody say but. It's not never a nice word, eh? But, I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Now please, we've said this over and over, I'm going to say it again. The Old Testament is best understood when you read the Old Testament through the eyes of the New Testament. The Old Testament contains types and shadows with a deeper meaning than the story itself. Here we can see it. The woman Jezebel was crushed and buried in the Old Testament, but here she is again. Can you see? It's a spiritual principle. I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent. Very interesting. I gave her time to repent. Isn't that the merciful God? I gave her time to repent. And she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. And he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's draw some principles here. Let's look deeper than the literal Old Testament history. There's a principle here. Yes, before I go further, yes, the spirit of Jezebel can manifest through a woman today. But the spirit of Jezebel has nothing to do with male or female. The spirit of Jezebel can also operate through a man. It's a spirit. Are we together? Now, the spirit of Jezebel can come in hidden patterns and ways. And I want to at least mention two this morning. Please tune your hearing aid and don't miss this. Sadly, today, multitudes of God's people have been seduced by an imitation anointing. That which looks like the anointing, but it is not the true anointing. On TV today, on our TV, national TV, there are at least four Christian channels nowadays. Four Christian channels. There only used to be one, and now there's four. And we have a way of bruising a little bit and looking here and there and see what's going. And we see too much of this. Imitation anointing. Imitation anointing. You know how people do this? They use methods and patterns of previous revivals to activate an anointing in the present, but it is not real. They put together patterns without his presence. That which worked in the, what is that place in Canada? Toronto anointing. I've been there personally. Or whatever mighty revival, which was genuine in its time, years later, people have learned to press certain buttons. It's like Moses. In the wilderness, they ran out of water. Okay? No water. So God told Moses, go and hit the rock. So Moses had a staff, and he hit the rock. What happened? Water gushed out, and the problem was solved. Come on. Not too much later, not too long after that, they ran out of water again. Now listen how God can test us. Instead of telling Moses, listen, Moses, we need to do something here again, but please leave your staff at home. We're going to do it different this time. But instead of that, God says to Moses, take your staff. But this time, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Why didn't God tell him, leave your stick at home? What does Moses do? He stands in front of the rock. Well, it worked last time, and he hit the rock, and water came out. Oh. He lost his entrance to the promised land. God was not impressed. What used to work, he made to work, but in an imitation form, a pattern without his presence. But God was merciful to let his people not go without water. But listen to this. There's a scripture that says in Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. Listen to this. You see, people came to the Lord and said this, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. Stop. Do you think people will say this to the Lord if it didn't work? Of course it worked. They prophesied. They did mighty works. They did miracles. Then the Lord will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity and lawlessness. Depart from me, I never knew you. But Lord, it worked. I never knew you. Here's the thing we forgot. This is the thing, folks, I don't want to... In my many years of walking with God, I've migrated from the Pentecostal season, where I was for 19 years, for a short exposure into the charismatic. And I've seen things. I've experienced things. But I'm so grateful that God called me into a season that was developing into what is today is given the kingdom of God or the apostolic or whatever name. But I've seen how people can remanufacture signs and wonders and prophecies that used to be work and used to be authentic, but it wasn't the same again. You could almost hear the word of Jesus. I never knew you. Now, the problem that many people have and the mistake they make that a hell or heaven issue. Jesus wasn't meant by that you're going to hell. That's not what he said. He said, I never knew you. He never knew them in that specific context. I never knew you as Lord. I never knew you in intimacy of fellowship and vital union. I never knew you as a man knows a woman. You did all those works and you did all those things in my name. You did things you wanted to do and you did it by my authority and at my word, but I had nothing to do with it. I never knew you as Adam knew his wife and gave birth to a son. Can we see that the religious soul can act independent of the spirit? And this is the spirit of Jezebel. The religious soul. Now I'm going to cut this short because this can go very, very far. Jezebel represents the soul of man before it was born again. Before it was transformed. That's the soul of man. And the soul can do things that look very real, look authentic, but it's disconnected from intimate relationship with the Lord. So now I'm saying this morning, let us not look around for Jezebel. Watch out, Jezebel may be operating in you. There's a thing about the soul and the spirit. You know, Watchmaney wrote amazing books on the power of the soul. And there are many other wonderful insights about the power of the soul, and we've got to watch out. Don't operate by the power of the soul. Let me take this a little bit further. And that I'm going to take this into the Adam and Eve garden story. Adam and Eve in the garden. And this is again in types and shadows, drawing principles out of the living stories of the Old Testament. Adam stands for the type of the spirit. Eve for the type of the soul. Right? And the body, or the Garden of Eden, is a type of the body. So here's the body, and inside is the spirit and the soul. Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Why did the serpent come to Eve and not speak to Adam? This is something, if you can grasp this the morning, I'm happy. If you can grasp this. I've often wondered, Adam was not away somewhere picking apples or playing with the crocodiles. Adam was standing next to Eve when the serpent spoke. And this is a lesson for us. The main reason is, the serpent cannot speak to the spirit man. Cannot. And this is what we must see happening and grow inside of us. It's the spirit man. Not the soul power, but the spirit man. Eve, representing the soul in this parable language, Eve could have turned to Adam and get his advice. She had a choice of listening to the voice of the spirit or the voice of the serpent. She chose to listen to the voice of the serpent. It's an untransformed soul which represents the spirit of Jezebel. May the Lord give us understanding and discernment of spirit when it comes to making choices in this life. Because in the soul, our soul is where we find the mind, the desires, the will, and the emotions. Many Christians make decisions based on emotions or desires of the soul. instead of listening to the Spirit. That's why the Bible is full of scriptures that set your mind on the things of above. Can the soul reach that place? Yes. 3 John chapter 1 says, may you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. There's nothing as good as a soul that is purified, saved, free of the influence of Jezebel. But I watch this on some of those TV shows, and I'm not judging, but I can see people grab the microphone and, and push the person over. Today it's gone as far as spraying doom. I mean, you don't know where it's going. Or eat the snake. Where is this going to end? As long as something that appears supernatural is happening, it must be God. Come on. This is where the purification process is on right now. Listen to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Listen to this. For I betrothed you to the one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He's making that comparison. 1 Timothy 2 verse 14 says, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Can you see the mystery? Can you see the mystery? The serpent cannot deceive the spiritual man. Each one of us here has a spiritual man on the inside. And we must nurture him. We must feed him on the living word of God. Because Hebrews 4:12 says, and the living word of God is living and powerful, able to discern between soul and spirit. The serpent can only deceive that which is less than the spiritual man, that which comes out of a man, the woman, or the soul. The spirit of a man cannot be deceived. So, the woman, or the soul, listens to the serpent and then tries to manipulate the spirit or the man. Can you see the process that's on? And if, and this is my heart's desire, it's been my experience for years, sit under a living word, absorb the word, spend time with God in his word, and let him bring a separation between spirit and soul. Let him purify your desires, your motivations. Let me close with this. The woman can rule over the flesh, and in this case represented by Ahab. The woman ruled and controlled Ahab like Jezebel did her husband. But she cannot rule over the spirit. Jezebel could not rule over Elijah. The serpent seeks to make the soul a priestess and a queen over the flesh through carnal religious doctrines and activities. We need to be purified from our soulishness. And we do not downgrade the soul, because the soul is part of you. But the problem is here. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. But the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. To be truly born again brings you in alignment with the last Adam, who is a life-giving spirit. Amen? So God has now called his elect, to overcome the Jezebel spirit. Every son of God has to overcome the spirit of Jezebel. And then it talks about the great tribulation. Many people have this thing about the great tribulation. One day there's going to be a great tribulation, and for 1,000 years or whatever, on. But the words great tribulation only appears twice in the Bible, only twice. And that has nothing to do with the one day, 1,000 years. We are in the great tribulation. God is sifting, purifying, and bringing us to alignment with the spirit man. May the Father help us. May the Lord help us to get rid of the carnality of the soul influence in us. Once Jezebel was thrown down from the wall and trampled by the horses, the dogs came and ate her flesh, licked up her blood. The dogs love Jezebel. She's dog food. God has thrown her down from her high place in the lives of all God's elect. Jezebel can no longer have any influence over those called into sonship. Are you getting this? Let me repeat this. Jezebel can no longer have any influence over those called unto sonship. She can no longer control. She can no longer manipulate. She can no longer deceive. She can no longer seduce the called out of the Lord. If you're called out this morning, stand to your feet. If you're called out, stand to your feet. If not, then remain sitting. The fact that we're all standing, I take this as a desire and a yes to God to purify our soul in its desires. Purify us. Bring us through the fire to the place where spirit, soul, and body are renewed. Remember, even our flesh, there's a day coming when we will... There's a day coming... In Romans 8, we will have a resurrection body as well. Father, put this desire in our hearts this morning, like never before, to not succumb to the temptations of the flesh or the soulishness that might still be in us, but to stand before you and allow the living word to separate that which should be separated within us and bring us into proper alignment with the spirit man, with the last Adam, who is a life-giving spirit. I release the Spirit of God in each one of your hearts. Lord, touch every hungry heart here this morning. Touch everyone and let the desires upgrade. We do not want to go through John the Baptist being beheaded. We don't want to sit in prison and doubt our very calling. So I release in each one a fresh hunger, a new hunger and thirst to stand before the Lord as overcomers. And if we receive this, can I hear a word from you? Can I hear a yes from you? We receive this in the name of the Lord.